The Holy Gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ, according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Invite children ages 3 to 10 to go with Katie to the music room for singing and a story and prayers, and they'll come back and join us at the piece.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. Amen. I'd like to try a little bit of a practice on you all. I don't have a lot of formed things this morning, not formed in the same way. I, like many of you, came today here to pray. I went to bed early last night. I woke up early this morning, and it wasn't until after the 8 o'clock service that I found out about the news that happened. Some of you may be in a similar spot, but the U.S. engaged in big military action against Iran. Can we just hold a minute of silence and pray? Lord, we are simple people. We simply ask for your peace, that we may be a people of peace, that we may proclaim peace, that our leaders may find pathways to peace. We pray for every person in the world under the threat of violence and fear. God, may we be your hands in this world. May we be a people of peace. Amen. Going to tell you what I had to say before. After this, I'm going to tell you more or less the sermon I had before, and I think it mostly fits. We went to a baseball game this last week at Nat Stadium, and on the way home, Ruby and Rosie and I were in the metro, in the subway, totally packed with people, and one of my children turned to me after the doors had closed and the car was mostly quiet. I was sitting behind her, sitting next to a stranger. The girls were in front of me. She said, "Dad, at what age do you become an adult?" I was gobsmacked, you know? I usually just like to give straightforward answers, you know? Like, we can save the lecture for later, just speak straight. And I turned to the woman next to me, who was an elderly woman, like this. And she turned to me like this. And she said, "Has it happened yet?" I said, "Child, when I turned 16 and I got a driver's license, I felt like an adult. When I graduated high school, then I felt like an adult. Then I got married, then I felt like an adult. But right now, I feel like a big kid." And she said, "Dad, at what age are you when you become an adult?" There are some things in life that it's hard to do truthful speech about. Not because we're trying to be evasive, not because we're trying to uphold, I don't know, propaganda or the family line or the line at church. It's just some stuff is hard to say. And you might, I don't know, some of you may already be convinced that things are hard to say if you were to try to answer that question, how old are you when you're an adult? But I've got another example. I've got two examples. One, it's in your bulletin. It's the Nicene Creed, okay? That is an example of the church trying to be truthful, trying to engage in straightforward, truthful speech, and also at the same time recognizing that those words, our description of who God is, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that they only begin to describe. It is not the final statement. It is not it attempts to be a comprehensive statement, and yet every Christian, every theologian has recognized that the Nicene Creed falls way short in getting the bigness of God. All right, now I've got a teaching illustration. Rosemary, can you help me with this? I need you to find a piece of dust. We didn't practice this, but I need a piece of dust, Rosemary. Can you find one? I'm looking over here, Rosie. I see a piece of dust. Look, come over here. It's not exactly dust. What would you call that?
Mulch.
All right, put your hand out like this. There you go. All right. Now, Rosie, let's imagine that that's Earth, okay? I want you to take 7 big steps that way. What you're holding, let's imagine it's Earth. What I'm holding, let's imagine it's the Sun. We're 20 feet away. That's about how far it is. If this is the... Rosie, is this the size of the Sun? No. It's not. This is just an egg. Well, it's a stone egg, but let's imagine. You know how big the Sun is? Let's imagine that big Sun is actually this egg. And that speck of dust is the size of the Earth. This is how far away we would be from the Sun. Now, I've got a question. These are the objects we're working with. Does anyone know how far away Pluto would be from us if Rosie holding the speck of dust is the Earth? Anybody have a guess? Where is that? Panera. 900 feet away. Yes. Ding, ding, ding. All right. Let's keep this going. Anybody have a guess at how far the next star would be if this is our star? Jackson Reed? What was that? Capital? Miami, Florida is how far the next sun would be. I'm telling you what the physicists on the internet told me, okay? If this is the sun, next sun would be Miami, Florida. Now, let's imagine, Rosie, that this egg is now our solar system. So, from here to Miami, let's shrink it down to this egg. how far across is our galaxy, the Milky Way, if this is our solar system? Baltimore, 30 miles away. Ding, 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 ding. Okay, so if this is our solar system, our galaxy, the Milky Way, would be from here to Baltimore. Now, Rosa, come back over here. Let's imagine that the Milky Way crushes down and is now the size of this piece of mulch. How big is the universe? Solar system. Yeah. Solly? Okay, you're beating me to my punchline, Solly. For those of you online, he said the universe is constantly expanding. Thank you. It'd be about, if this piece of dust is the size of the Milky Way, the universe would be about, right now, let's say, would be about the size of the Empire State Building. Thank you, Rosie. Now, here's the question. Was that exercise truthful speech? All the facts were basically right. But you could imagine a poet or even a physicist saying, appreciate what you're trying to do, but you've probably left people more confused because they might have a sense that they understand it. But really, that whole exercise, truthfully, is an exercise in us appreciating how limited and small our perspectives are. So the truthful speech may be about the universe, but definitely about our position in it, which is one of humility. My view of the Trinity, I'm not going to try to tell you what it is. I'm going to try to tell you what it aspires to be. My view of the Trinity is that the early church that named it first, reflecting on the Bible, reflecting on their experiences, they were trying to take the greatness of God and put it into one word. That only works if we look at that word with the same mystery and awe as we might about the expanse and greatness of the universe. Too often, Christians have tried to take the word Trinity and browbeat people over it, use it to be a conflict, use it to divide, use it to be adversarial. When I see that word, I see a church aspiring to the mystery and greatness of God. Now, I think today I'm feeling this especially kind of in a profound way. I understand the argument that says it's better to not engage in something too difficult, that actually what you're doing is creating a sense of self-certainty, or you're reducing it. You're unfairly reducing this concept, and you're distorting it. Therefore, though you're trying to speak truthfully, actually what you've said is false. Faith, in my mind, is inhabiting that middle way. That middle way that says, yes, of course, we do not fully understand God. That we work it out in fear and trembling. My view of the doctrine of the Trinity is humble people from all over the world in their own time and place struggling, wrestling with this concept and working it out. Towards what? Towards the mystery. We're working towards the mystery on the one hand, and on the other, it would be just as bad to say nothing, to let the mystery, the greatness of the universe overwhelm us to silence. When we confess the Nicene Creed, when we sing the hymn, Holy, 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 that is not, in the best instance, that is not pride. That is not us saying we've got it all figured out. That is us humbly laying at the altar of something so great and powerful and saying we feel a part of it. Some part of it is true. A place marker for that truth is the seven letters of the Trinity. I'll just say that at that altar, throwing ourselves down before it, recognizing that it is greater than us, part of the truth of that story that is too big to name, but something that we must say is that at the heart of God, our tradition teaches again and again and again is peace. That at the heart of God, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, is forgiveness and mercy and peace. And that violence fundamentally distorts that truth. Now, what gives me the right to say it? I don't, it's in faith. It would be just as wrong, though, for me to be silent about that truth. We need to speak it out, even though we don't know exactly what it means right now, how to apply it exactly now. We have to be people who proclaim the gospel from a place of humility and kindness. But the world needs that story. We need to know, to live, to inhabit, to incarnate that peace and mercy and forgiveness. Amen.